We have something special that we're doing today. I'm with Tim and Darcy Gill with Voice of the Martyrs, and they're going to be in our 10:45 worship service this morning. And we thought it'd be a privilege and an opportunity to give them a chance to share with us about their ministry. And as we do this, I want to just take the opportunity to ask y'all to introduce yourselves.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we're Tim and Darcy Gill. We're the Southeast Regional Representatives for the Voice of the Martyrs. We travel 7 different states just sharing about what's happening to your family around the world. And it is so exciting to be able to come back here to Biltmore. When we were here last year, the brothers and sisters really responded, really came around and wanted to understand what was happening to their brothers and sisters, and be willing to do something about it. That's the key that really is a blessing for us. So we're excited about coming back in here.
Amen.
And it is. It's good
to
be here.
One, right?
It is good to be here, though.
Well, amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate y'all being here and the opportunity that we can have to share together today. Just to begin our talk, why don't we talk about the Voice of the Martyrs? What is the Voice of the Martyrs? Because I know there are people out there that are might not be familiar with the Voice of the Martyr ministry, and just take a few minutes and share with us about the ministry itself.
Well, the ministry was founded back in 1967 by Richard Wurmbrandt. He was a Romanian Jew, actually. He's a Messianic Jew that came to the Lord, he and his wife both, and they took a stand. He was a pastor over there in Romania during the time when the communists came in, and he took a stand in saying that he would not bow down to the Communist Manifesto and just preach the things that they said the official church could do. And he was one of the only ones that stood up and said that he was going to preach Jesus without any compromise. And he suffered 14 and a half years in a communist prison because of it. His wife spent 3.5 years there. And they were ransomed out when he was released from the prison. They were ransomed out of Romania by the church in Norway, I believe it was at the time. And they came to America and started this ministry. They just wanted to share with the body of Christ here in America what was happening to their brothers and sisters in some of these countries where the communists had taken over, and that persecution of the church was just incredible. And nobody would believe him. He went from one end of this country to the other, and everybody called him. In fact, he was labeled the big liar by so many evangelical churches. So he actually went before our Congress and the Senate and told them what was happening. And when they didn't believe him, he got up and took his shirt off and showed the puncture wounds and things that he had, the scars in his body from the tortures that he had been put through. And that was the start of the ministry, and it was called Jesus to the Communist World at that time. And then when persecution started coming across all different, from all different religions and different people groups, they changed it to the Voice of the Martyrs. And it simply is a ministry that is being a voice for brothers and sisters around the world that don't have any. They can't, from these countries, tell of what's happening around the world, so we do that for them. And in the meantime, we bring in different types of aid. We smuggle Bibles into countries and literature and just all sorts of different things like that.
I think what's interesting to me about the mission is we've been in existence for 33 years, but if you talk to people, as Tim and I go from place to place, it's really been over the last maybe 5 or 6 years that most people that we're coming in contact with anyways have heard of it. And we really, really believe that this is God's timing, not just for the persecuted church, for the church in America, where we're people with great wealth and great abundance and great blessing. It's a time for us to let it flow out to minister to the persecuted church. It's God's timing, but it's also God's timing for us to prepare us to stand.
Yes.
How long has the Voice of the Martyrs been around doing this ministry?
About 33 years. We've had the ministry going on, and they've got offices all over the world. In fact, I was just in Vietnam with the heads from our office in Finland, and Finland and the Czech Republic. We have an office in the Ukraine, the UK, there's just a number
of offices, Australia,
yes,
South Africa,
that we've got places, works going on, and we all work in conjunction with each other. We work together to bring in different parts of the different aid to different parts of the world, so that it doesn't all run through one office, so that we kind of spread it out around the world, so that there's everybody has a chance to get involved in helping.
What I thought was real interesting is when Pastor Richard and Sabina went from country to country when they were released from Romania, they shared this message all over the world, not just America. And in the countries where they stopped, little groups that really got a heart for this band together, and they started the missions, not Pastor Richard and Sabina. Hmm. It was these people that God captured their hearts with the truth of this message. And now, years later, all those missions are working together to reach the persecuted church.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. You know, when you were talking about Richard and what he went through, and then when he ripped his shirt off and showed the scars, in a way you kind of want the persecuted Christians to march before Congress today, yeah, and do the same thing, because there's so much going on and very little said on behalf of the persecution.
Their story is told, and it's rejected time after time. They literally are marched before Congress by people who are being their voices.
Just what's happening in the Sudan right now today has been before our Congress and Senate 6 times in the last year. And because of the oil things that are going on over there, that they've discovered oil in the country, and that countries like China and Canada and even us, I mean, we're involved in it too to a degree, because of the oil ventures there and stuff, and the effect that it would have on our stock market and our economy and these world's economies, nobody will touch it. You know, it's like a hot potato. That's something you don't speak against, all for the love of money.
Mm. And the love of politics, I'm sure. Well, tell us a little bit about what you do for the Voice of the Martyrs. I know you shared about being the voice and so forth, but as both of you being missionaries or representatives for the Voice of the Martyrs, what exactly do y'all do?
Well, we'll share that individually, because we have a kind of a twofold approach to what we do. We are actually the Southeast representatives. We travel in 7 different states, and we go to any church or any group, actually. It doesn't even have to be a church. We've been in some fabulous home meetings, and we were just in a public school setting and Christian schools, and just you name it, we go any place that'll have near to here, we will share. And the message that we give is in a twofold approach. Usually I will usually bring the word in the sense that we show people their responsibility in coming alongside these brothers and sisters, and what we're supposed to do. Once we hear, then we're held accountable for what we know, and that's what I try to bring in the word part of it. And then my wife.
Oh, okay. My cue. What I do is I have a real blessing. I get to share their testimonies, their stories. And one of the things Tim and I are really privileged to do is we have opportunity a couple times a year going overseas, and we go into these countries and we meet with our family members there. I was just in Sudan this year, and I went up into the camps, and you know, we stayed with them and we were with them for several days, and we got to hear their tales. I mean, the things that are happening with them, their true stories. And when we share them, usually people will weep or be very upset over it. And we keep trying to bring back to them that those are testimonies of victory. Those are victorious stories, because these brothers and sisters have chosen to be faithful and stand for Christ no matter what. So that's my part in it. And then also God opens the door for me to speak at women's groups, and the same with Tim for men's groups, and just many, many different places. We've made a commitment together that whatever door God opens, we want to be faithful to walk through.
Well, amen. And their voice needs to be heard.
Amen.
You know,
yes.
What is taking place with them. And I know that that's what has to do with the name, the Voice of the Martyrs.
Right.
And the encouraging people that once they hear these things, to not just internalize them and say, okay, that's a nice thing to pray about, but to actually turn around and to become a voice. It multiplies us. incredibly in a community. We were just in Charlotte up there about 3 weeks, and there was a brother there that that is really taking this on, and he's the one that's got us into that public school to where he shared with a whole bunch of these kids what was happening around the world just because one religion was trying to impose upon another religion. And from that, he got, I think, 15 or 18 of the children that came up to him afterwards and said, "Would you take this information to my pastor? They need to know about this." So he, on his own, is taking the Voice of the Martyrs material and stuff to these pastors and sitting down with them and sharing what's happening around the world. So that's something that is a real blessing for us, is that it just multiplies out into a community so that we can really spread what's happening.
Another thing, too, and to me, this is such an important part of what we do. We just really pray that as we share their testimonies, that it's going to stir the heart of the church in America. Because what we see as we go from place to place is a church that has gotten very complacent, that has been very entertained. And we say this about ourselves. It's not just pointing the finger at our brothers and sisters. We're in this picture. And we just really, really pray that God's going to give us that vision as we share these things for the congregation to really see that this Jesus that is worth living for is worth dying for. And if it's not that way, we need to evaluate the kind of faith that we have and the Christ we're walking with.
I agree. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And
you
know, many Christians today don't suffer for Christ. There's not much persecution going on. And I really do appreciate your ministry. Now, last year y'all were with us, and you came in our service, and you shared with us. And this was really our first exposure to the ministry of Voice of the Martyrs, and our church received it very well. And I know when you come in, you bring a bunch of the materials, and and we get to see a lot of things that are put out and written and sponsored by the Voice of the Martyrs to help educate the church on what's going on. I know coming up in November, we were just talking about before we came on, talking about the International Day of Prayer. Now, that's coming up in November. You want to take a moment and share with us about that?
Yes, that's actually how we really got started with this ministry back in 1996. We had a ministry that was geared to just help the body of Christ come together across all denominational walls and things that we'd have erected, and it was just by concentrating or focusing on the things that were common to us that we could work together to accomplish as the body of Christ. And one of those things was persecution. That's across the board. Every denomination, every people group, the body of Christ is suffering in some way, shape, or form. So this International Day of Prayer came around to really bring the church back into focus, to let them understand that we are going to suffer persecution if we truly follow Jesus Christ. So this day of prayer was to bring that around, and it's one time a year. It's usually the second Sunday in November. This Sunday is November 12th, and what they do is they've got a regular kit that's available that you can send in for to the Voice of the Martyrs, or actually to Prayer for the Persecuted Church is the organization that does it. This kit has got all sorts of things in it for pastors or for teachers or anybody really, even a prayer group that want to focus in on the persecuted church that day. It gives you all sorts of ideas on how to do that, and then all the organizations that are working with the persecuted church so that you can do follow-up afterwards. Because there again, it's one of the things that I think it was Paul Marshall said, he's a Jewish lawyer up there, he said the height of hypocrisy is that if you know about something and simply pray about it when you have the opportunity to actually do something about it, that's the height of hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And this is what we try to do, is that not only that if you take time to pray about something, you generally will want to do something about it afterwards.
Mm. That's true. You begin to get a burden.
Yes.
over what's taking place. If you've just joined us, my name is Pastor Steve Herford, and I'm with Tim and Darcy Gill. They're with Voice of the Martyrs. They're going to be in our 10:45 a.m. worship service this morning, so I would like to invite you to come and hear them in person. This morning we're together fellowshipping and talking about the ministry, and if you don't get to come this morning to our 10:45 service, at least you can have this time to fellowship with them. In just a few moments, we're going to tell how you can get in touch with the Voice of the Martyrs ministry and how might you could pass information on to your pastor. And if you're a pastor, of course, how that you could learn more about this ministry. Let's talk about some of the items that you have. We purchased last year the Jesus Freaks book, and that's with DC Talk and the Voice of the Martyrs. Can you tell us a little bit about that publication?
That book was generated out of the heart of those three young men. It was really a shock for us, in a sense, that they, when they wrote that song, you know, the words to it were, "What will people say when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? And what will people do when they know that it's true? I don't really care if they label me a Jesus freak, because there ain't no denying the truth." And in writing those words, it really made them stop and look at their Christianity and say, okay, am I living a life that is equal to these words that I'm singing? And it really brought them back to the basics. And so they started doing some investigations and found that the people and the brothers and sisters around the world that are living in the basics of this, they live this every day of their life. That Jesus is the most important thing, and that nothing else really matters, nothing else really cares. And so they are the biggest Jesus freaks around the world, and that's why they called the book The Jesus Freaks. It was just something that touched them deeply. So they got in touch with our ministry because they wanted to know who these biggest Jesus freaks were. And it goes, like I say, it spans all the way from the very first martyr, Stephen, up through Cassie Bernal and the brothers and sisters, the little, the teens and things that were killed at Westwood Baptist or Wedgewood Baptist, yeah, in Texas.
Right.
Just different testimonies all around the world like that. But that's how the book came about.
I was looking at the book earlier this morning, and I noticed it's kind of a covenant in the back. Is that what you'd explain? And it talks about, from this day forward, I will make a difference. And then it's kind of like a prayer. Jesus, I thank you that you suffered and died for me. It further says, I will not be ashamed. I'll do what I can for those who are persecuted and pray for them. So it's kind of like really fitting to find that, you know, toward the end of the book after reading all the different testimonies. And I know, as a pastor and having y'all here last year, one of the things that we sought to do for the International Day of Prayer was to not just spend one day praying, but to take the whole month. And we highlighted in our services where we would take this publication right here and read some of the different stories so that people could hear the testimonies.
Right.
Because a lot of times we hear about persecutions and we hear about it on the news and read it in publications, but even like with your ministry, when you come in and you share with us, and Darcy, I remember that Sunday you were here and you just kept sharing with us testimony after testimony. And I remember, too, how y'all were talking about the prison cell. And I remember you laid down a sheet and gave us kind of a visual idea of about the size and, you know, that in one of the places where some of the Christians...
That was Saudi Arabia, right.
Yeah, that was just fascinating. I know our people were overwhelmed. And so I really do appreciate your ministry and the opportunity that you have. Now, this morning you're going to be sharing in our services. What would be some of the things that you talk about, especially since you were just here a year ago?
A year ago was the introduction to the ministry and an introduction to persecution itself. As far as the word went last year, we just shared where persecution's place is in the body of Christ, and then shared some of the testimonies of these brothers and sisters. This year is going to be a continuation, I would say, or a further challenge, that we're actually going to challenge from the Word, that these brothers and sisters out there that are undergoing severe persecution right now today actually are our teachers. They want to teach us something that we've lost. here in America. We are very comfortable. We are we're in the peace and safety and prosperity mode, and it's very difficult to get out of that, to break out of that, to get back to the basics of our Christianity, because it's, I mean, it's everywhere. Everywhere you look, you turn on the Christian TV stations, you turn on most of the radio things that are on. It's all towards that general direction. And there's a time coming that we can see it. In fact, it's already started in some of the arenas in our country where you're going to have to stand for Jesus Christ. And that isn't something that you take lightly. It's something that really has to be trained, or you have to be put into that. All these brothers and sisters around the world, if you ask them, you know, how come you can stand there and take these sufferings and take these tortures and actually be martyred for Christ and not deny his name? And it's because they, from the time they were little bitty ones, they were told, you know, that it costs you something to follow Jesus. Mm. That it isn't just this free gift that he pours upon you. You know, salvation's free. Discipleship costs you something.
Right.
And they're brought up with this. And this is what we do when we come in to a repeat in a church, is we challenge them now to learn from these brothers and sisters, to learn the victory and the things that they're standing in, to be able to apply it to our lives, because we soon will have to be standing in the same thing.
Specifically, I'm going to share about my trip to Sudan. Mm. I have many testimonies of brothers and sisters I met there. Tim and I share these things all the time. It's very different telling you about people that we've been told about, or standing up there and telling you about people that we've held in our arms, or we've prayed with, or just seen the scars, you know, and touched their wounds. That's very, very different. So what we plan on doing, along with the things that Tim said, is just really letting you go on those trips with us to share in. You gathered blankets. You were a part of that. Mm. When I went in, I brought 10,000 blankets. Mm. And I saw firsthand how God used that to minister. Mm. People in 110 degrees would immediately take those heavy blankets and wrap them around themselves to cover their nakedness. Mm. Now, see, we have no conception of that, no understanding of that, because we have more than one.
Right.
So
right.
We are going to share just some personal things that took place, testimony.
Well, I sure hope that that the people will really get a sense of your burden. I can see it as I'm sitting here, and I was just thinking as you were sharing, you know, many times we think that missionaries, and we think that people that work in other countries and try to reach people for Christ, that they're kind of, we can't seem to relate to them. They're kind of not in our world, and we think that missionaries are just somebody different than us, and the truth of the matter is that they're really no different than us, and God has just called them to a different geographical location, you know, and has given them a ministry in that respect. And I was just thinking as you were sharing that like when you were in Sudan and the people that you saw and talked with and cried with, and I could just imagine the burden that you bring back, you know, and many times that you lay down at night and sleep and to have that rehearsed back through your mind. Almost kind of like our soldiers that went through Vietnam and having that rehearsed back through their mind, and you know, and just seeing the pain and the hurt, and just seeing it face to face, close up. So you're not telling us a story that you read about. You're telling us stories that you've experienced, and that's what makes the ministry so special.
I think sometimes we get kind of intense because of that.
Oh,
Tim and I both.
Yeah.
I got back from Sudan and did a radio interview, and I was just over the desk at the guy because I was I was crying, he was crying.
Hmm.
It's hard to separate it.
Sure. Yeah, and I think there would be something wrong with us if we did separate ourselves in that
way. Yes.
You know, I mean, we're taught to detach ourselves,
right,
you know, emotionally. Well, let me just ask you a couple more things before we leave, and I think it's a pertinent question. How can the church today help our persecuted brothers and sisters? How can we reach out to them?
The best way that we see, you know, as far as there again, it's a twofold approach. Is the first is to pray, but it's not just to pray you know, just to fire up a quick little prayer and say, oh, Lord, you know, bless the missionaries, or Lord, protect the ones that are being slaughtered, or whatever. You really need to pray intelligently. And the only way that you can do that is you've got to take some time and to learn of these brothers and sisters. Mm. I mean, we learn of things all day long on different things, and so this shouldn't be something that is foreign to anybody.
Right.
And the best way to do that is through the newsletter that we've got. It's actually a magazine. It really isn't a newsletter. It comes once a month, and it's absolutely free. It doesn't cost anything. They want you to get this and to take time to read it. Put it someplace where you're going to read it. And then to pray intelligently for different countries and different people groups and specific things that these people are suffering, so that they can get some relief. They can be, you know, just to be able to stand. Mm. I mean, they need prayers for that, to give them the strength to stand in the face of that.
Right.
And you can get that by, there's a 1-800 number. It's 1-800-75-VOICE, V-O-I-C-E, 1-800-75-VOICE. And you just tell, when they come on the line, you ask them for free offer number A18, and that's the newsletter, and so you get a four-minute video that explains a little bit about what's going on. In fact, it's the video that we're going to be showing in the church this morning. And then you get the subscription to the newsletter, which is free, and it doesn't cost anything, you know, to sign up for that.
Let me interject real quick, because with that newsletter, it will also tell you, like Tim said, the most important thing. We need to be on our knees, because we can tell you these things, and it can look like government's in control, but the Word tells us that we do not struggle against flesh and blood. That's not our war. It's principalities and powers. We get on our knees before God. Then we get up off our knees, and we start doing things in those areas that are needed. In Sudan, blankets, life packs. Other countries, there's Bibles, there's food. I mean, we send scripture balloons over the border of South Korea into North Korea. I mean, country after country, there's different projects. We have sewing projects to help educate the little Christian girls in Muslim cultures who can't get education. So the newsletter will give you many, many, many things that you can do. We suggest you pray, you read that newsletter, and then you be a voice for the people who do not have the ability to be a voice.
And then the other thing, as far as you can do in the Jacksonville area here, if there's pastors listening to this, or if there's elders, deacons, church leaders, or just anybody, mission coordinators, if you'd like to have this come into your church, and be able to see firsthand what's happening to your family around the world, I'll give you a local number here to call. It's 904-661-2705, and that's our local number. You'll get either us or the answering machine. put your name and your phone number on that answering machine, and we will get back with you. We check it every day when we're on the road, because we're going to be spending the last half of this year, when we get back from Tennessee, I think it's the 13th or 14th of November, we are going to spend the rest of this year in the Jacksonville or in the Florida area, just touching as many churches as we can. So if you would like us to come and share, please give us a call at that number. That's 904-661-2705.
Now, before we close, is there still an email list that y'all send out that alerts people that would like to be on it? Would you like to give that up?
Yes, we have it's actually a prayer network that we do. We got one for every state that we're in right now. And that, if you'd like to be on that, that's just, again, just call that number and leave your email address on there. I won't give out my email address over the air. But if you'd like to do that, just call and give your email address over the phone number, and I will send you an email. And we send out generally updates once a week of the different things that are happening that we get off the news services.
Mm. So that'll keep the church informed of recent events.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate y'all being with me today and being on our program, and looking forward to you being in our 10:45 worship service this morning. And if you've just joined us and you would like to request a copy of today's interview with Tim and Darcy, You can check us out on the internet at biltmore.cjb.net, or you can email us at biltmorechurch@juno.com, or you can just pick up the telephone and call us at 786-1255, and we would be glad to share this information with you. And we do hope that you'll join us this morning and meet Tim and Darcy, very sweet people. And I hope that you'll have a great day in the Lord.